What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it is a distinct honor and pleasure to be with you on a Monday. Rico Beard's World Tour continues, and The Godfather is with us, presented by Speaker City. It is Michael Stone. He will be here all week. This is a very exciting week.
Thank you. Oh, yes, because there's nothing happening.
No, it allows us to be more creative. That's how I choose to view it.
Absolutely.
I hate when radio hosts get on the air and are like, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah, great sales pitch to your audience. Mm-hmm. No, we have a ton of things to talk about. So here's how today's show is going to work. No win position. I'm not going to be able to make all of you happy. So I'm not going to try. It's just simple. It would be equally stupid for us to completely ignore what happened this weekend, as it would be equally stupid for us to dedicate a majority of the show to it. So a couple segments to open, and then we are going to move on. And I want to entertain you guys, and I want to give you guys something to listen to on a 100-degree Monday. We got a red-hot baseball team. I just don't know what it means. Stoney's night at the ballpark today is a holiday for many. Happy College Football Returns Day. And look, we're going to have fun, but can't ignore what went down this weekend. And understand, I'd like to think, I've told you this a million times, I can't even make it about politics, what took place this weekend. It's just, I feel like we are just lost as people on both sides of the aisle, and I don't understand caring enough about politics to want to take someone's life. I don't understand what I watched. I really would like to believe we're better than that, but we're not. I mean, guys, there have been 14 attempted presidential assassinations and 4 successful ones. Sadly, this has kind of been who we are over the long haul. You get some deranged people on both sides of the aisle. But Mike, here's my question to you and to the people. Am I wrong because I didn't really react? I saw it and I went, well, that's messed up. And I watched some of the coverage, but I didn't. I'm not moved by anything anymore because I'm numb to, hey, there's a bombing here and there's a shooting here and then this many people died on the south side of Chicago this weekend. And, oh, look, there's an attempted. I don't even know what to say anymore.
To me, I think you need to be informed of what's happening, and that's about it. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and we found out, and the Wi-Fi or whatever, you couldn't really get a lot of service. So I was getting texts from my friends, but I didn't feel compelled. Once I found out he was fine and all that, fine, life goes on. What bothers me the most, and look, it has nothing to do with what side you're on. So I want everybody to remember this. This is not about left, right, whatever. It's about people. On both sides. What bothered me the most, besides the obvious that this lunatic idiot took a shot at somebody who's running for president, okay? What bothers me the most is, and I'd like to believe that the majority are not like this.
A vast majority.
Not that we'd take shots, obviously, the vast majority wouldn't. The vast majority are not the lunatics on both sides who, as soon as this happens, they make their own ridiculous proclamations on social media and whatever. You have a right-wing conservative congressperson from Georgia saying that the district attorney in that part of Pennsylvania should investigate Joe Biden for this. Then you have the whack jobs on the left who say, oh, this was all planned. It was, you know, fake to make him look good like a hero and all this. What the hell are you talking about?
A
guy almost lost his life with inches. And look, it's no secret.
One person did lose their life.
Yes, that's the other thing. Exactly. Okay. And look, it's no secret here. I don't like Donald Trump. Okay. But that's irrelevant. He's a human being. And I thought Biden handled it probably better than he's handled a lot in the last 4 or 5 months. You call the guy, you talk to him, and you come out and make the statements that you see. It's just, to me, it's,
I think,
like,
what I don't understand.
It's like become this game. Okay, Trump gets shot, so we have to blame this person, and we have to blame that. No, there's only one person to blame for the actual shooting. That's the
nutcase on the roof.
The assassin, the would-be assassin who killed somebody else. That's who you blame.
I actually blame the media in a lot of ways, and I blame social media. Both. Look, we've turned politics into a team sport. That's not really what it is.
I know.
I mean, look, I have friends on both sides of the aisle. They understand.
As do I.
They can't really engage me in politics because I don't have a party and I don't believe in it. I just think it's ultimately it is a one-on-one basketball game designed to keep the American people fighting with each other so each party can stay relevant and continue drinking off the fountain. So I don't care. It is more about what will it take for this country to just chill. The temperature in this country, look, I've always believed in my lifetime, not my father's, but in my lifetime, there would be some form of like uprising or some form of civil war. This is, look, we are in many ways we're the greatest nation in the world, but we have like real problems. The temperature in this country is white hot. It's largely why I don't have social media. I don't really concern myself with what other people do. I'm happy to let people do pretty much whatever they want. Just don't mess with me.
Right.
We're good. I don't care. I just don't know what to do.
I mean, we sit and, you know, we kind of like, I wouldn't say make fun of, but like Doug's, you know, sign off, treat everybody with respect. Mine is just be nice to people. You can disagree about policy. Yeah. You can disagree about foreign governments and things like that, but just treat people like I think it
human
used
beings?
To be where Republicans and Democrats could get together and just shoot the breeze. And
but
now it's become this hate mongering thing
on both sides too.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Look, that's where again I blame cable news, and I blame social media, and they're kind of one and the same. But people are basically it's like they think they're a part of a team, and the other guy's evil and is never right, and your guy's virtuous and always right, and that's not a discourse.
No.
It's just silly. So.
Yeah.
Look, I guess my question, I guess to the people is like, where do we go from here? I mean, I'm not acting like it's the first time it's ever happened.
No.
Because that's factually untrue. There have been 14 attempted assassinations, sadly. I don't know. Is there a chance this could actually bring the country to a more even standpoint, a more neutral standpoint?
For a time period,
or
maybe?
Or do you think this is just going to ratchet up? I don't know.
No, because the conventions tonight start, so I don't think it's going to be ratcheted down as much as it should be. Because
is it wrong that I just don't react to a whole lot anymore?
No.
I don't believe politics is for me. Like, I just believe both parties actually loathe the American people. They just are out to serve themselves.
Well, when you say parties, I think a lot... The majority of the people who are actually serving us, they're the ones who laugh at us. Because how many who are voted for are actually doing what they're supposed to do? And that's be
zero.
Civil servants. Now, there are some pretty good, you know, senators and congresspeople out there. There really are. But they're a minority.
Oh,
when
vast.
You see people leave and you
know
see
what I
how
think,
much
Mike,
money they've been...
Mike, I'm being serious with you. I actually think we've arrived at a point where any person who is smart enough and dedicated enough and shrewd enough to be a politician is smart enough to know it's a complete waste of time.
Yes.
I think what you're seeing is on both sides of the aisle, when you get to the governor level, when you get to the congressional level, and then when you get to the running for president level... We're living idiocracy, and I don't even need to start naming people left and right. You can pick the characters. It's just, it's why I don't believe in any of it. And then when I watch what took place this weekend, it just bums me out because, again, it's going to be weaponized versus.
Right. How do we fix it?
The first thing I went to wasn't the political party of a crazed 20-year-old disenfranchised, you know, nutcase. It was this dude's insane. I don't know if he's left or right. It doesn't matter. He took a shot at a guy who was a former standing president and a man who is running for president again.
Right.
It's intolerable. It's insidious. I could never hate someone enough to want that. And yet, Mike is right here, guys. You saw people holding positions in politics, lobbing tinfoil conspiracy theories this weekend.
Yeah.
Not some guy in his mom's basement.
Right.
So I would look, we're going to do a couple segments on this. And then, yeah, I know it's going to be a wild juxtaposition. We're going to have fun after this.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to just pretend it didn't happen. But it's also not fair to you to drill you with it for 3-4 hours. What I want from you is this. What happens next? You guys all out there, the assassination attempt, both sides of the aisle. Where does it go from here? It is an election year. But at, like, society-wise, is this a jump-off point where we all look at each other and go, dude, we got to chill out a little bit? Or does it just continue to death spiral into President Camacho and Brando has electrolytes? Like, what are we really doing?
Well, every time there's a, you know, a school shooting, we say, oh, this is going to be the last.
No.
Right. That goes on and on. No. So we really don't, you know, come to any, you know, conclusion or try to solve anything. I think the best thing for this country would be, you know, my left, is a third party. I would call the Common Sense Party, who takes some of the things that they agree with from the right, some of the things from the left, because there's some good things on both sides.
That's the reality.
That's why I can't take these people who are just lockstep. They'll go into the booth in November, and they'll either check Republican or check Democrat. They won't know anything else.
I partly don't blame them because they aren't given a choice. I mean, Mike, look at two-party politics. It's like, I like Italian food, and I also, all right, here, like a New York specialty. I like Chinese food.
Me too.
But I don't exclusively like every dish on that menu.
Right.
Do I like certain Republican policies, especially specific to the economical side? Yes, I do.
Me too.
Do I like some of the Democratic agenda as it would pertain to, I don't know, like
social issues?
But again, only some.
Right.
There are some that I think are zany and absurd and just nuts.
Right.
There's nowhere for a person like me to go. And I think that's why a lot of Americans are just very disenfranchised with politics in some total. Right. I'm one of them. And I just choose not to care. But I wanted to bring it up. We can talk about it. I don't treat it like a team sport. It's disgusting what took place. I just want to know what happens next. Because I just don't think we can have the temperature of this country continue to rise.
No.
If we want to end up in a good place. I don't.
There's too much vitriol out there. It's
too much believing that it's a binary thing of right, wrong, good, evil.
Right.
It's not. I'm not trying to be provocative, and I don't want to get into an argument with anybody. It's de-escalation July. Plus, I can't yell today. All right, I had a very loud weekend, very fun weekend at Saratoga.
Oh, good. How'd you do?
I killed it.
Oh, good.
I was on one of the great hot streaks of my life.
Wow.
We can't go there. Two words, cash and roll.
Okay.
We were hammering at the track Saturday. The point I make to you is, I don't believe there's a virtuous side, but the idea that people can say what they say after someone tried to kill a man, or the idea
and
that
somebody did get killed.
Yeah, I want to know where you guys are at with it. And what happens next? What is the actual, like, do you think the temperature goes down or up? I have a bad feeling it will go up because all the media is going to do is weaponize this for their own purposes. But we could talk about it. And then, yes, we're going to do football today. We're going to get into College Football 25 release day. We're going to get into Stoney's night at the ballpark. We got to talk about the Red Hot Tigers. Scooble got screwed. I'm pissed. We're going to talk about that. So if you have an opinion about what went down this weekend with the assassination attempt, I'm fine. We can talk about it. But I don't really know what else to say. It's just, it sucks. It's a bummer, and it's who we are.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. I think that just about says it for me. We'll take a few phone calls, and that'll be it. Because listen, I understand different shows approach different ways. This show won't be doing an hour of this. We won't be doing 2 hours of this. Just not going to do it. It's sunny. It's 90. And frankly, I'd like to continue the good mood. I had a great weekend. I'd like to go that direction.
Good.
All right. 97.1.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. So we started the show, obviously. We're going to do a couple segments on what went down this weekend, the attempted assassination, and then we're moving on because I'm not going to do that to you today with, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours of it. Not. We got plenty of good stuff to talk about, and a lot of people are going to want the escape, and I respect that. I do, too. I had a great weekend. I'm not interested in being sad today or being upset. So we'll knock out some calls, see where people are at, and it's really just kind of where does it go from here? And I blame, first of all, cable news on both sides. It's poison. And then the poison for this generation. And again, this is a 20-year-old kid, social media. I mean, history, you guys make fun of me because I left social media 10 years ago and stuff. But guys, reality is I'm going to be proven right. The history books are going to look back on this and the damage it is doing to everyone. So especially the children, people who are now coming of age, right? Social media's advent really started in the late 2000s into 2010 range. These kids being raised by a tablet or a phone they're off center and they're a mess because your brain isn't fully developed and you're not supposed to be taking in deep fake misinformation and creating an echo chamber. It's a mess. And I don't think it has anything to do with politics in specific. You just have a lot of sick people right now.
Oh, I mean, it gets vitriolic for sports, as we know. The whole rivalry in this state is just, it's ridiculous.
Please.
It's awful.
You have people who still can't just say Michigan cheated. That's wild to me. You can just say straight up you had a guy in a Halloween costume on your opponent's sideline. Right. No one's ever seen it before. Right. Let's just be on the level here.
Right.
Can't say.
You can argue all you want about who knew what and what, whatever. That's fine. That's debatable.
But my point is, yes. Be an adult.
Correct.
Like, good Lord. Yeah. So, no, you're right, Mike. And it bleeds into sports. Why? Social media.
Yes, exactly.
You create your own world.
We do it ourselves with ticket texts. I mean, the ticket texts that we
don't. You do.
No, I don't. I don't see them.
I don't either.
Right. Because mine is because I get distracted, so it's something else. But
right.
The fact of the matter is, you know, we read the ticket texts that are provided for us that have already been, you know, basically edited.
Well, to your point, okay?
I mean,
talked to Kenny, and Kenny said basically 75% of them can't be read because it is good versus evil. It is hyper-political.
Right.
And it's just not readable. It's incendiary.
Correct.
So then there's a middle ground, and Kenny said, I've got a couple that are readable that won't start SummerSlam. And I said, okay, good.
Yes.
Stay there.
Right.
Because again.
Because they're not listening. We're not going to read your vitriolic ticket text on either side.
Correct.
We're not.
There's no point. There's no winning. You know what? Somebody almost died this weekend. You can leave the politics behind.
Yeah.
It's called humanity. I mean, that's just where I'm at, but I'm a weirdo. Hey, let's go to Will in Sterling Heights. Let's get this party started. Will, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys doing?
Good. Okay, what's on your mind?
Hopefully I can bring a little more centered perspective to this whole thing, but I think you're going to have the, like, kind of like what you guys are saying, the more vitriolic perspectives on the extreme end, which, you know, we've always had and probably always will have. But I do think we're going to have a bit of a cooling down period just because, like you guys just alluded to, someone's life was taken while someone's life was being attempted at being taken.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to kind of bring a lot of people back to reality. Like, okay, like this is a very real thing going on right now.
I wish it would. But I mean, Will, we couldn't come together over, you know, kindergarten kids getting shot up at school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like people have the ability to just chill. It's crazy.
Yes. And the people always talk about how we have, like, a choice between only two parties. We have had, like, legitimate third-party contenders, and I'd even make the argument right now in Robert Kennedy Jr. We have someone who's a little more center. and they're kind of talking from more of a common sense perspective.
Well, first of all, he was thinking about having Aaron Rodgers as his running mate.
You don't even need to go there. I don't care who the candidate is. They will never receive the funding necessary.
No.
They will never be able to be invited to the debates. They will never have an actual chance because this is a two-party system, and they want to keep it that way.
The only thing where he is correct on is in certain states, they can get enough votes where a state can be won or lost because of a third party. Not that the third party person is going to win. I think we saw with Ralph Nader, I forget which election, where he had enough votes that, I don't know if it was Gore or whatever, didn't win that state. So whatever, they can make an impact.
The reality Ross is, Perot, if you vote like for a third party option, your vote goes in a garbage can.
Right. My first vote ever was for a third party candidate, John Anderson.
Oh, I thought that was Garfield. All right, let's go to Danny. 97.1. I'm sorry. Danny, how you doing, buddy?
Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
D, I'm good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, first off, I mean, I'm not trying to boast you, but I capped off to you, my friend, because you know what? A lot of other stations or other shows would definitely avoid this kind of a thing, but you know what? You do it perfectly. You want to dip your toe in it because to do it is irresponsible to just totally avoid it, and to bring it up is what's needed. And I also firmly believe that, listen, I don't care what kind of side of the aisle you're on. I mean, if you're left, you got to be able to talk to right. If you're right, you got to be able to talk to left.
Right.
And if you can't do that, and unfortunately, the vast majority of this country is not responsible enough to handle having an opinion on these things. Because what is it? It is a cardinal sin for you guys in the media to talk about, you know, in the sports media more so than anything, talk about two things, religion and politics. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you are is fantastic, because if you don't, this continues, and this blame goes solely, in my opinion, on what you just said to echo. It's media and social media and the regular news media, because they're the ones that created this. Where does a 20-year-old get this vision? He doesn't get it from his upbringing. Some of them get it from their upbringing, but I would bet my life on it that social media and news networks are what created his mentality to do so. Mind you, he's a deranged person, but I guarantee you that's the motivation, and that is the problem.
Yeah, and that's, Danny, that's been my point in all of it, and it's scary. I mean, look, I mean, I may not have children of my own, but I am an uncle, and I love my nieces and nephews, and I worry about them, because this is the world they're coming up in, and it's terrifying, because adults can't find a way to separate what's real and what's not.
Right.
How does a child, how does a teenager?
They can't. They can. I will say this one last thing, because I know you got to run. But, Mike, I would say this. Listen, I am a Michigan guy. I will be so happy of this national championship. And when you talk about them and you're a Spartan guy, I can hate your guts. But I listen to you religiously because I respect your opinion, because you are of the other side and you keep it real.
Yeah.
And even I can hate you come October every year and go after it and let the battle begin. But that's the problem, is unfortunately not just the young, but also people over 40 or people in your age bracket, Stoney, they can't handle the ability to have a conversation in sports, let alone you think you're going to do it in politics.
That's
crazy.
Danny, it couldn't be said better, Danny, because sports isn't real. Like, we have fun with it and we are passionate about it, but in the grand scheme of things, in what's really important in life, sports isn't it.
No. Sports is it's entertainment.
But yet, NFL fan stabbed to death. NFL brawl. Like, you see how people are. And I'm telling you, it goes back into people are creating, and this is how something like this weekend happens. I don't think it's politics.
Right.
I think it is someone who has been, they're just ill-equipped.
But going back to what you succinctly said in the first segment, this has been happening. We've had 14 assassinations and attempts throughout history. So this kid could have been somebody from, you know, John Hinckley did his stuff before social media.
Yep.
When he tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan and came from the NCAA basketball championship.
Mike, you're right.
Game.
Okay.
That's a whole other story.
You're right. And again, I don't think it's political. There have been attempts on both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
It is about us as a people. Now, look, if I took away one thing from this weekend that is surely not political, I was confused by how the Secret Service and how security measure, you know, that rooftop would be the no bleep biggest threat in the area. 130 yards sounds like a long way. It's not.
No, they had two snipers, but on different... Somebody should have been up there.
It doesn't add up to me, right. But I am not qualified. It's not like I've ever designed a security detail for a presidential speech.
Correct.
It's just me, dummy, right? Me being a dumb guy. I'm going, you have a rooftop that's 130 yards with a view of the stage. How is that not one of your biggest threats? I'm not qualified. You wanted to know what my initial thought was. There's my initial thought. And once again, it had nothing to do with politics. A man almost had his head blown off. One person in the crowd did. Like, that's my initial response to it. 248-539-9797. We'll knock down a few more calls, and then we're going to move. And we're going to have some fun today, and we are going to talk about the Tigers, who are red hot. I just don't know what it means. It's a torturing state of affairs. I'll explain why. All right, we'll get to the people. Tiger baseball, we're going to talk a lot about it. They're playing the best stretch of ball they've played all year. But I want to look back before we look forward and see where you guys are at. We got College Football 25 coming out today. I think a lot of people are going to be returning to the video games. I think you got a lot of people of the younger persuasion who never got a chance to play the old game. They're going to make their debut. Bit of a holiday for some of the dudes out there. So the girlfriends and wives can probably wave goodbye. You're going to be losing your spouse here for a few days.
Well, actually, it's perfect. Isn't The Bachelor on Monday nights? So they can watch The Bachelor. And
you negotiate whatever settlements you need.
Yeah.
But we're going to have fun today. But we had to start with what took place this weekend in Pennsylvania. So let's knock out some calls, and then we'll touch table on some football and move along. Let's go to Phil, 97.1. Phil, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. I just want to say that you two guys couldn't be more on point about the two parties. I think it was Mr. Stone said the common sense party. Hello?
Yeah.
Sign me up. I mean, was that you, Mr. Stone?
Yeah, the problem is you have people actually debating what exactly is common sense. Because my common sense and your common sense might not be the same.
How about let's see clearly now? I mean, something other than the far left and the far right, they just want to destroy each other, and all that's going to do is destroy this country.
I've always been so confused. Phil, what confuses me is how people can be this invested in politics that it becomes their team. I've never understood that. I don't get it. These people don't like you. Neither side of the aisle likes you. They don't like any of us. They care about keeping each other on top.
And one thing when they have a point of view, they try to hammer into your head that their point of view is the only point. No, there's other ways of dealing with stuff. And just I've left bonfires where politics comes up. It's like, let's just sit and enjoy our company, and politics comes up. I've walked away. It's frustrating. I'm sorry, but it's
we're all frustrated because what went down this weekend is sad, and it's disgusting, and there's no place for it. Yet the first thing that took place, Phil, was political footballs from both sides of the aisle, fringe conspiracy theories, you know. It's almost like a team sport. I don't have time for any of it. Like, I can just look at it for what it is, and it's like, that's hideous. And it's like, look, I made fun of the presidential debate a lot, and I'll continue to do so. Not today, because it's not the time or place. The point I'm making is, this is the greatest nation in the world, and we keep showing our ass. And that's what bothers me. I can't imagine being in another country and looking at this and going, the hell is wrong with these people?
Right. They have these two elderly gentlemen who are like, it's unbelievable.
We go to Mitch, 97.1. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Mitch. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a ton of thoughts on this. I know it's been a while since I've called. Just, I'm trying to rationalize it the same way that I did with Michigan football and Michigan State football this past fall, where it's like, I don't think there is a team for me. I sort of believe you have to be like a political eagle. You need a right wing and a left wing in order to fly. But the choices that we have right now are just so inadequate. Like, I've largely checked out from football because the Spartans product is largely, you know, terrible. And then I can't get behind Michigan because I saw these guys cheat, and I just feel like it's insincere. And it's the same with politics, because I've got seemingly two inadequate candidates, and you know, there's nothing that's serving me.
No.
You know, when I heard the news, I was working my second job because I'm a teacher full time, and you know, we've got the summer, and I got to make ends meet. And the sun came up the next day, and I was like, my problems are still there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, Mitch, you just encapsulated it. And I look, I don't understand the people whose lives become so obsessed. Not to the point that you want to take someone's life, but just this idea of like the temperature's so hot in this country and I don't have the emotion behind it. Because like you said, I care about, you know, my people, and the sun comes up and I pretty much mind my own business, and whatever happens, happens. You know, one party has 4 years and then the other one wins. What really changes? Not a whole lot. Except, you know, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio. But like, other than that,
right?
What? I mean, Mitch, you nailed it, brother. I saw it this weekend and I'm like, this is so effed. And I moved on. I know that sounds terrible, but I'm numb to it.
That's not terrible, because I do feel like people, there's not as much red and blue per se as much as there is purple. Just people are a mixture of different thoughts and opinions, and you know, eventually, like what Stoney was saying, you got to find common sense somewhere where it works out for most people. But just this vitriolic bright red, bright blue on both sides, it's got to stop.
And that's why I have voted for presidents of both parties over my time voting, and for Senate and Congress and other offices. I'm not, you know, a strict one-party person. I think that's almost shameful to a certain extent. There are good in both.
A Stoney's political podcast debuts August 17th.
No, you don't want that.
Mr. Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Jeff.
There'll be some jokes in there.
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hey, I've been driving, listening to you guys talking about social media and how it's affecting the youth of today. And I was telling the screener, I'm 66 years old, and I remember one of the first things I remember as a youth was John F. Kennedy getting killed.
Right.
I was in elementary or kindergarten, had to get sent home. And then 2 days later, I'm watching TV in the morning, and Oswald gets shot right on national television. And everybody kept talking about how, you know, TV is now bringing out, you know, in a form of social media. And it always started out with newsprint back in the 30s, and the radio started. Now you could hear people talking, and that was like, oh, my God. And then radio, you know, phased out a little bit, and people started watching television. And now TV is phased into the Internet. And I think that the human being and the human will adapt to that. And I think that's what's going to happen here. They're seeing things more they can communicate about it is the biggest difference. Where I couldn't do that as a kid. I remember going to school the day after Robert Kennedy was shot, and he was still alive. And we were all just, nobody was doing anything. We were just standing there going, is he going to live? Is he going to die? Yeah. I was 10 years old, you know, and that affects you as a youth. But you know what? You sort of adapt to it. It's you know, I don't underestimate the kids of today. Not that they're going to adapt to it. They will. And there's going to be those people that can adapt to it. And it's always been those people. You know, there's been the bell tower guy at Texas Tech. I mean, there's always been those guys that just can't do it. And it goes way back. There's always been freaks. I don't think you can blame it on social media.
Well, Jeff, the differential, like, look, I think when you're talking, we're talking about something a little different, right? You're right in that the fringe cases, you're right. But when you are seeing attention spans of human beings whittled down to that of an ant, that's social media. When you are seeing people's inability to think critically, that is social media. When you are seeing a youth who believes they should be flying to a music festival in Miami on a private plane every weekend and wondering why they aren't graduating college with a $300,000 job, that's social media.
Mm-hmm.
When you are seeing grown-ass adults who raise children yet are creating echo chambers for themselves to only expose themselves to things they agree with and to only attack the people they disagree with. That's social media. And no, I'm not telling you that what happened this weekend is solely because of it.
No.
That is just a 20-year-old troubled guy, and it's insidious.
The thing with social media, okay, I use it mostly for work, like for Twitter, okay? Oh. Yeah, it's an easy way to get articles and links and things like that because most people don't read the actual newspaper anymore. So it's I like it for that. Facebook, when it started, was not for politics or anything. It was to you know, the stupid stuff. Hey, look what I had to eat today. You know, show your friends who are living out of town or whatever. It was a happy. It was a happy place. Now it's not. Even Facebook's not a happy place. Instagram, you have kids today just post stuff up hoping to get likes. I mean, that's the problem. It's like everything else. It starts off with good intentions.
And then we ruin it.
And yes, exactly. Good intentions turns into bad intentions and bad results.
All right, put a cap on it. There you go. We're done. There's your serious stuff today. Let's get into some football. Paul, tell everybody I appreciate him calling in. That's it. End of the road on that. We'll get to the Tigers at 3 o'clock. Does that work for you? I'm going to start calling you Mr. Stone after that one caller did. Okay. I like that.
That's fine.
There's Stoney and then his alter ego, yeah. Mr. Stone. 248-539-9797. We'll get a little football next. All right, let's touch the table. A little football. It's 90. It's sunny. Summer, summer camp. We're almost ready to report for duty. Let's get to it. Kenny.
So let's do some college football here. Indeed, CBS put out a list of a couple of different things here. They have teams due for some better luck and teams due for their luck to run out. They even invented a cool stat called the whoops-a-daisy rate, which is interceptions plus fumbles per snap. So which would you rather hear first, the teams due for some better luck or the teams?
Give me the teams whose luck is about to run out.
All right, team number one. These are contending teams, teams that could be swayed in and out of the playoffs. So number one is Louisville. They went 5-1 in one-score games. Their whoops-a-daisy rate's one of the best in football.
Yeah, they also had a scheduling blessing where they got Notre Dame after Notre Dame had played three straight top 10 opponents, and they got them at home at night. It was almost like an auto loss for Notre Dame. Like, you're not getting that every year. And the other thing is Jeff Brohm's offense, it's not going to take anyone by surprise year two. I will agree with that, but they're not going to go away because their NIL program is, in a word, robust.
It used to be that basketball was the number one sport at that school.
Yeah.
Now it's not. I mean, you're
disaster.
Right.
The next one is Missouri. They were 4-0 in one-score games. Very low whoops-a-daisy rate as well. I love that stat, by the way.
It's a great stat. I think they're really good.
They're good.
Drinkwitz is a really good better recruiter and
multiple NFL wide receivers,
right.
Luther Burden, Wheezy.
They have lots of NIL.
Yeah, and Brady Cook, it's a rarity in college football these days. You got a kid that started 36, 38 games for you, and he's back. Look, I don't think Mizzou's ever going to win the SEC, but can they be a 9 or 10 win team and be credible? Absolutely. And again, very sneaky NIL. And they just recruited a 5-star quarterback. Not that anyone cares.
Next one here is Northwestern. They took care of the football really well. 6-2 in one score games. They probably should have been closer to 4-4.
100% agree. Their offense is painful to watch. I don't understand how they exist. I hope they go 0-13. I hate their guts.
See, they always intrigue me because to me, I look at it and I say, how is this team even in games, let alone winning as many as they do? So I think I like their coach, the interim guy who took over last year, and he did a really nice job, and they always seem to get a few really good recruits. Yeah, I think they're legit. Not to win the Big Ten, but, you know, not to be the Dennis Green, Francis Northwestern teams.
Okay, that's an old reference. Keep going.
This one might hurt your feelings, Mike, because you are a big advocate for this team this year. Ole Miss, 4-0 in one-score games. Their luck might run out in 2024.
And it's, you're probably right. Here's the other thing. This is Dan Campbell on meth. I mean, Lane Kiffin, with his decision-making on fourth down, the volatility, he will go for it 4th-and-3 on his own 38. It's just, You're right. It can run out. It could go south. But they are wildly talented, and he's one of the best play callers in America.
And they have a quarterback that might win the Heisman Trophy.
Jackson Dart. Yeah, look, Kenny's not wrong. It could run out. Their season...
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to the people. Tiger baseball, we're going to talk a lot about it. They're playing the best stretch of ball they've played all year. But I want to look back before we look forward and see where you guys are at. We got College Football 25 coming out today. I think a lot of people are going to be returning to the video games. I think you got a lot of people of the younger persuasion who never got a chance to play the old game. They're going to make their debut. Bit of a holiday for some of the dudes out there. So the girlfriends and wives can probably wave goodbye. You're going to be losing your spouse here for a few days.
Well, actually, it's perfect. Isn't The Bachelor on Monday nights? So they can watch The Bachelor. And
you negotiate whatever settlements you need.
Yeah.
But we're going to have fun today. But we had to start with what took place this weekend in Pennsylvania. So let's knock out some calls, and then we'll touch table on some football and move along. Let's go to Phil, 97.1. Phil, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. I just want to say that you two guys couldn't be more on point about the two parties. I think it was Mr. Stone said the common sense party. Hello?
Yeah.
Sign me up. I mean, was that you, Mr. Stone?
Yeah, the problem is you have people actually debating what exactly is common sense. Because my common sense and your common sense might not be the same.
How about let's see clearly now? I mean, something other than the far left and the far right, they just want to destroy each other, and all that's going to do is destroy this country.
I've always been so confused. Phil, what confuses me is how people can be this invested in politics that it becomes their team. I've never understood that. I don't get it. These people don't like you. Neither side of the aisle likes you. They don't like any of us. They care about keeping each other on top.
And one thing, when they have a point of view, they try to hammer into your head that their point of view is the only point. No, there's other ways of dealing with stuff. And just, I've left bonfires where politics comes up. It's like, let's just sit and enjoy our company, and politics comes up. I've walked away. It's frustrating. I'm sorry, but it's really frustrating.
We're all frustrated because what went down this weekend is sad, and it's disgusting, and there's no place for it. Yet the first thing that took place, Phil, was political footballs from both sides of the aisle, fringe conspiracy theories, you know. It's almost like a team sport. I don't have time for any of it. Like, I can just look at it for what it is, and it's like, that's hideous. And it's like, look, I made fun of the presidential debate a lot, and I'll continue to do so. Not today, because it's not the time or place. The point I'm making is, this is the greatest nation in the world, and we keep showing our ass. And that's what bothers me. I can't imagine being in another country and looking at this and going, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Right. They have these two elderly gentlemen who are like, it's unbelievable.
We go to Mitch, 97.1. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Mitch. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a ton of thoughts on this. I know it's been a while since I've called. Just, I'm trying to rationalize it the same way that I did with Michigan football and Michigan State football this past fall, where it's like, I don't think there is a team for me. I sort of believe you have to be like a political eagle. You need a right wing and a left wing in order to fly. But the choices that we have right now are just so inadequate. Like, I've largely checked out from football because the Spartans product is largely, you know, terrible. And then I can't get behind Michigan because I saw these guys cheat, and I just feel like it's insincere. And it's the same with politics, because I've got seemingly two inadequate candidates, and you know, there's nothing that's serving me.
No.
You know, when I heard the news, I was working my second job because I'm a teacher full time, and you know, we've got the summer, and I got to make ends meet. And the sun came up the next day, and I was like, my problems are still there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, Mitch, you just encapsulated it. And I look, I don't understand the people whose lives become so obsessed. Not to the point that you want to take someone's life, no. But just this idea of like the temperature is so hot in this country and I don't have the emotion behind it because like you said, I care about, you know, my people and the sun comes up and I pretty much mind my own business and whatever happens, happens. You know, one party has 4 years and then the other one wins. What really changes? Not a whole lot. Except, you know, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio. But like other than that,
right.
What I mean, Mitch, you nailed it, brother. I saw it this weekend and I'm like, this is so effed. And I moved on. I know that sounds terrible, but I'm numb to it.
That's not terrible because I do feel like people, there's not as much red and blue per se as much as there is purple. Just people are a mixture of different thoughts and opinions, and you know, eventually, like what Stoney was saying, you got to find common sense somewhere where it works out for most people. But just this vitriolic bright red, bright blue on both sides, it's got to stop.
And that's why I have voted for presidents of both parties over my time voting and for Senate and Congress and other offices. I'm not, you know, a strict one-party person. I think that's almost shameful to a certain extent. There are good in both.
A Stoney's political podcast debuts August 17th.
No, you don't want that.
Mr. Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Jeff.
There'll be some jokes in there.
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hey, I've been driving, listening to you guys talking about social media and how it's affecting the youth of today. And I was telling the screener, I'm 66 years old, and I remember one of the first things I remember as a youth was John F. Kennedy getting killed.
Right.
I was in elementary or kindergarten, had to get sent home. And then 2 days later, I'm watching TV in the morning, and Oswald gets shot right on national television. And everybody kept talking about how, you know, TV is now bringing out, you know, in a form of social media. And it always started out with newsprint back in the 30s, and the radio started. I could hear people talking, and that was like, oh, my God. And then radio, you know, phased out a little bit, and people started watching television. And now TV is phased into the Internet. And I think that the human being and the human will adapt to that. And I think that's what's going to happen here. They're seeing things more they can communicate about it is the biggest difference. Where I couldn't do that as a kid. I remember going to school the day after Robert Kennedy was shot, and he was still alive. And we were all just, nobody was doing anything. We were just standing there going, is he going to live? Is he going to die? Yeah. I was 10 years old, you know, and that affects you as a youth. But you know what? You sort of adapt to it. It's you know, I don't underestimate the kids of today. Not that they're going to adapt to it. They will. And there's going to be those people that can adapt to it. And it's always been those people. You know, there's been the bell tower guy at Texas Tech. I mean, there's always been those guys that just can't do it. And it goes way back. There's always been freaks. I don't think you can blame it on social media.
Well, Jeff, the differential, like, look, I think when you're talking, we're talking about something a little different, right? You're right in that the fringe cases, you're right. But when you are seeing attention spans of human beings whittled down to that of an ant, that's social media. When you are seeing people's inability to think critically, that is social media. When you are seeing a youth who believes they should be flying to a music festival in Miami on a private plane every weekend and wondering why they aren't graduating college with a $300,000 job, that's social media.
Mm-hmm.
When you are seeing grown-ass adults who raise children, yet are creating echo chambers for themselves to only expose themselves to things they agree with and to only attack the people they disagree with, that's social media. And no, I'm not telling you that what happened this weekend is solely because of it.
No.
That is just a 20-year-old troubled guy, and it's insidious.
The thing with social media, okay, I use it mostly for work, like for Twitter, okay? Yeah, it's an easy way to get articles and links and things like that because most people don't read the actual newspaper anymore. So it's a, I like it for that. Facebook, when it started, was not for politics or anything. It was to you know, the stupid stuff. Hey, look what I had to eat today. You know, show your friends who are living out of town or whatever. It was a happy. It was a happy place. Now it's not. Even Facebook's not a happy place. Instagram, you have kids today just post stuff up hoping to get likes. I mean, that's the problem. It's like everything else. It starts off with good intentions.
And then we ruin it.
And yes, exactly. Good intentions turns into bad intentions and bad results.
All right, put a cap on it. There you go. We're done. There's your serious stuff today. Let's get into some football. Paul, tell everybody I appreciate him calling in. That's it. End of the road on that. We'll get to the Tigers at 3 o'clock. Does that work for you? I'm going to start calling you Mr. Stone after that one caller did. Okay. I like that.
That's fine.
There's Stoney and then his alter ego, yeah. Mr. Stone. 248-539-9797. We'll get a little football next. All right, let's touch the table. A little football. It's 90. It's sunny. Summer, summer camp. We're almost ready to report for duty. Let's get to it. Kenny.
So let's do some college football here. Indeed, CBS put out a list of a couple of different things here. They have teams due for some better luck and teams due for their luck to run out. They even invented a cool stat called the whoops-a-daisy rate, which is interceptions plus fumbles per snap. So which would you rather hear first, the teams due for some better luck or the teams?
Give me the teams whose luck is about to run out.
All right, team number one. These are contending teams, teams that could be swayed in and out of the playoffs. So number one is Louisville. They went 5-1 in one-score games. Their whoops-a-daisy rate's one of the best in football.
Yeah, they also had a scheduling blessing where they got Notre Dame after Notre Dame had played three straight top-10 opponents, and they got them at home at night. It was almost like an auto loss for Notre Dame. Like, you're not getting that every year. And the other thing is Jeff Brohm's offense, it's not going to take anyone by surprise year two. I will agree with that, but they're not going to go away because their NIL program is, in a word, robust.
It used to be that basketball was the number one sport at that school.
Yeah.
Now it's not. I mean, you're
disaster.
Right.
The next one is Missouri. They were 4-0 in one score games. Very low whoops-a-daisy rate as well. I love that stat, by the way.
It's a great stat. I think they're really good.
They're good.
Drinkwitz is a really good better recruiter and
multiple NFL wide receivers,
right.
Luther Burden, Wheezy.
They have lots of NIL.
Yeah, and Brady Cook, it's a rarity in college football these days. You got a kid that started 36, 38 games for you, and he's back. Look, I don't think Mizzou's ever going to win the SEC, but can they be a 9 or 10 win team and be credible? Absolutely. And again, very sneaky NIL. And they just recruited a 5-star quarterback. Not that anyone cares.
Next one here is Northwestern. They took care of the football really well. 6-2 in one score games. They probably should have been closer to 4-4.
100% agree. Their offense is painful to watch. I don't understand how they exist. I hope they go 0-13. I hate their guts.
See, they always intrigue me because to me, I look at it and I say, how is this team even in games, let alone winning as many as they do? So I think I like their coach, the interim guy who took over last year, and he did a really nice job, and they always seem to get a few really good recruits. Yeah, I think they're legit. Not to win the Big Ten, but, you know, not to be the Dennis Green, Francis no Northwestern teams.
Okay, that's an old reference. Keep going.
This one might hurt your feelings, Mike, because you are a big advocate for this team this year. Ole Miss, 4-0 in one-score games. Their luck might run out in 2024.
And it's, you're probably right. Here's the other thing. This is Dan Campbell on meth. I mean, Lane Kiffin, with his decision-making on fourth down, the volatility, he will go for it 4th-and-3 on his own 38. It's just, you're right. It can run out. It could go south. But they are wildly talented, and he's one of the best play callers in America.
And they have a quarterback that might win the Heisman Trophy.
Jackson Dart. Yeah, look. Kenny's not wrong. It could run out. Their season could come down to 2 or 3 fourth downs between a playoff berth and going 8-4.
Next one here is Washington. A bunch of coaching changes, moved to the Big Ten. They were 8-0 in one-score games.
Agree, totally. It was a total farce. They were nowhere near as good as what they showed. I don't know what voodoo they had over Oregon to beat them twice. And the fact that Rico was happy makes me sad. Well, so I'm out.
They had a great quarterback, and he's gone. So, yes.
Really? Yeah. He looked like a space cadet in the national title game.
Well, I know.
Carry on.
All right, let's move on to the teams that are due some better luck. Kansas State, first on the list. They were 1-4 in one-score games and losses to, like, Missouri, Oklahoma State, and Texas.
And I actually think Avery Johnson's going to play a big role in this. They've got a kid. He looks like the kid from Remember the Titans, Sunshine. Like, his hair is down to his ass, but he's a playmaker. Kleiman's a damn good coach. You're right. 1-4 in the one-score games for a good football team that plays disciplined. Yeah, I that's a buy for me, Kenny.
That Avery Johnson, good left-handed shooting point guard.
I quit.
Next here is TCU. They had some tough field goal luck, going 2-for-7 in critical spots, 0-for-5 against Colorado. They lost 0-for-4 in one-score games.
Got to see the quarterback play. Beginning, middle, and end for me. Show me a legitimate quarterback for Sonny Dykes. I'll show you a good TCU team. I got to see it to believe it. Their quarterback play last year, suboptimal.
Look, he had the benefit of having a good quarterback the year before.
Who was in his 10th year.
Yes, exactly. And they had a really good wide receiver who actually sucked in the pros last year. Quinn Johnson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're right.
Next one is Texas A&M didn't win a single one-score game, including that game against Alabama.
Well, this is where I'm going to get made fun of, maybe by Stoney, but certainly by Rico. I'm a buyer of Elko and A&M. Wegman, their quarterback, is absolutely legit. He's fantastic. I buy. I think they're going to have a real adult in the room, a real offensive scheme, not the archaic Jimbo Fisher stuff. I'm a buy on Texas A&M.
I was going to say addition by subtraction being the head coach. And Elko was a guy that, you know, when you guys were looking for a coach, I thought Elko would have been a wonderful candidate for Michigan State.
He's a defensive whiz.
Yes.
He really is.
And the last one here is Virginia, 2-5 in one-score games. They had a point differential of minus 75, but that was heavily influenced by a 28-point loss to Georgia
State. Yeah, but everything I've watched with them is, you know, again, Tony Elliott's been a bit of a disaster. The offensive line can't block a soul. Brennan Armstrong left because he just was tired of being hit. I need to see talent before I sit here and tell you UVA is going to do anything. We're a long way from Rondé and Tiki Barber.
Yes.
And George Welsh. Yeah, like this is a bad football program. I can't go. Kenny, I got to see some talent.
Yeah, they're always, you always think they're going to make the next step, and the next step's always backwards.
Yeah, falling back down the stairs.
And that is your college football blitz.
All right, let's touch the table. A little football. It's 90. It's sunny. Summer, summer camp. We're almost ready to report for duty. Let's get to it. Kenny.
So let's do some college football here. Indeed, CBS put out a list of a couple of different things here. They have teams due for some better luck and teams due for their luck to run out. They even invented a cool stat called the whoops-a-daisy rate, which is interceptions plus fumbles per snap. So which would you rather hear first, the teams due for some better luck or the teams?
Give me the teams whose luck is about to run out.
All right, team number one. These are contending teams, teams that could be swayed in and out of the playoffs. So number one is Louisville. They went 5-1 in one-score games. Their whoops-a-daisy rate's one of the best in football.
Yeah, they also had a scheduling blessing where they got Notre Dame after Notre Dame had played three straight top-10 opponents, and they got them at home at night. It was almost like an auto loss for Notre Dame. Like, you're not getting that every year. And the other thing is Jeff Brohm's offense, it's not going to take anyone by surprise year two. I will agree with that, but they're not going to go away because their NIL program is, in a word, robust.
It used to be that basketball was the number one sport at that school.
Yeah.
Now it's not. I mean, you're
disaster.
Right.
The next one is Missouri. They were 4-0 in one-score games. Very low whoops-a-daisy rate as well. I love that stat, by the way.
It's a great stat. I think they're really good.
They're good.
Drinkwitz is a really good better recruiter. And
multiple NFL wide receivers.
Right.
Luther Burden. Weezy.
They have lots of NIL.
Yeah, and Brady Cook, it's a rarity in college football these days. You got a kid that started 36, 38 games for you, and he's back. Look, I don't think Mizzou's ever going to win the SEC, but can they be a 9 or 10 win team and be credible? Absolutely. And again, very sneaky NIL. And they just recruited a 5-star quarterback. Not that anyone cares.
Next one here is Northwestern. They took care of the football really well. 6-2 in one score games. They probably should have been closer to 4-4.
100% agree. Their offense is painful to watch. I don't understand how they exist. I hope they go 0-13. I hate their guts.
See, they always intrigue me because to me, I look at it and I say, how is this team even in games, let alone winning as many as they do? So I think I like their coach, the interim guy who took over last year, and he did a really nice job, and they always seem to get a few really good recruits. Yeah, I think they're legit. Not to win the Big Ten, but, you know, not to be the Dennis Green, Francis no Northwestern teams.
Okay, that's an old reference. Keep going.
This one might hurt your feelings, Mike, because you are a big advocate for this team this year. Ole Miss, 4-0 in one-score games. Their luck might run out in 2024.
And it's you're probably right. Here's the other thing. This is Dan Campbell on meth. I mean, Lane Kiffin, with his decision-making on fourth down, the volatility. He will go for it 4th-and-3 on his own 38. It's just, you're right. It can run out. It could go south. But they are wildly talented, and he's one of the best play callers in America.
And they have a quarterback that might win the Heisman Trophy.
Jackson Dart. Yeah, look. Kenny's not wrong. It could run out. Their season could come down to 2 or 3 fourth downs between a playoff berth and going 8-4.
Next one here is Washington. A bunch of coaching changes, moved to the Big Ten. They were 8-0 in one score game.
Agree, totally. It was a total farce. They were nowhere near as good as what they showed. I don't know what voodoo they had over Oregon to beat them twice. And the fact that Rico was happy makes me sad. Well, so I'm out.
They had a great quarterback, and he's gone. So, yes.
Really? Yeah. He looked like a space cadet in the national title game.
Well, I know.
Carry on.
All right, let's move on to the teams that are due some better luck. Kansas State, first on the list. They were 1-4 in one-score games and losses to, like, Missouri, Oklahoma State, and Texas.
And I actually think Avery Johnson's going to play a big role in this. They've got a kid. He looks like the kid from Remember the Titans, Sunshine. Like, his hair is down to his ass, but he's a playmaker. Kleiman's a damn good coach. You're right. 1-4 in the one-score games for a good football team that plays disciplined. Yeah, I that's a buy for me, Kenny.
That Avery Johnson, good left-handed shooting point guard.
I quit.
Next year is TCU. They had some tough field goal luck, going 2-for-7 in critical spots. 0-for-5 against Colorado. They lost 0-for-4 in one-score games.
Got to see the quarterback play. Beginning, middle, and end for me. Show me a legitimate quarterback for Sonny Dykes. I'll show you a good TCU team. I got to see it to believe it. Their quarterback play last year, suboptimal.
Look, he had the benefit of having a good quarterback the year before.
Who was in his 10th year.
Yes, exactly. And they had a really good wide receiver who actually sucked in the pros last year. Quinn Johnson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're right.
Next one is Texas A&M didn't win a single one-score game, including that game against Alabama.
Well, this is where I'm going to get made fun of, maybe by Stoney, but certainly by Rico. I'm a buyer of Elko and A&M. Wegman, their quarterback, is absolutely legit. He's fantastic. I buy. I think they're going to have a real adult in the room, a real offensive scheme, not the archaic Jimbo Fisher stuff. I'm a buy on Texas A&M.
I was going to say addition by subtraction being the head coach. And Elko was a guy that, you know, when you guys were looking for a coach, I thought Elko would have been a wonderful candidate for Michigan State.
He's a defensive whiz.
Yes.
He really is.
And the last one here is Virginia, 2-5 in one-score games. They had a point differential of -75, but that was heavily influenced by a 28-point loss to Georgia
State. Yeah, but everything I've watched with them is, you know, again, Tony Elliott's been a bit of a disaster. The offensive line can't block a soul. Brennan Armstrong left because he just was tired of being hit. I need to see talent before I sit here and tell you UVA is going to do anything. We're a long way from Rondé and Tiki Barber.
Yes.
And George Welsh. Yeah, like this is a bad football program. I can't go. Kenny, I got to see some talent.
Yeah. They're always, you always think they're going to make the next step, and the next step's always backwards.
Yeah, falling back down the stairs.
And that is your college football blitz.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.